Pleasant evening to each of you. Delighted we have this opportunity tonight to study the Word of God together. If you'll be turning in your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in Ephesians chapter 2. If you're visiting with us tonight, we consider you an honored guest. Encourage you to take open your Bible and study along. Should error be taught, if you would call it to our attention, we'll make the proper correction. But if you find truth to be taught, we ask that you make the application to your life. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready for tonight. You could come forward at the singing of the invitation song and confess Jesus as the Son of God and be immersed into Christ. Or if you need to be restored, if you'd make your way to the front, we'd be glad to pray with and for you. In Ephesians chapter 2, begin reading with me at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you read the Ephesian letter, you'll find that it is a most important study for all. And when you go through the Ephesian letter, you'll find that the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about the church of my Lord. And I want us to stop this evening up from the Ephesian letter, some important words. And what I want to do is just look at three key words from the Ephesian letter. And I want them to go into our mind and let us get a good understanding of what Paul had in mind when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. In your Bible, in the Ephesian letter and the second chapter, I want us to look at the first key word of the Ephesian epistle tonight. And I want you to underscore that word or take note of the word, and that's the word sit. If you have your Bible, in Ephesians 2 and verse 6, Paul said he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that word sit reveals several things. When one is relaxed view, when we see the picture of one walking, running, we see the exercising of the body. And we can see where one would become tired and weary if they ran for great distance. But the picture of one sitting in Christ shows a position of rest for the weary. One who is now relaxed. And I want us to think about being relaxed in Christ. We are relaxed now because we enjoy every spiritual blessing in Christ as in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Our sins have been forgiven. In the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, verses 3 through 5, you remember he talked about as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death, and he talks about being raised up. When one is baptized, they're not only to walk in newness of life, but Paul says they're raised up to sit in Christ. Have you ever thought that now I can have peace? I am at peace with God. I have peace of God because now I'm right with God. I have been reconciled. I've been healed. I've been justified. I have been saved from my sin. And now I have peace and I can sit with Christ in the heavenly realm. Spiritually, I sit with Him and with all the redeemed tonight, because I have been made right from my sin. When life becomes heavy with burden, I can go to my God, and my God will help me. In 1 Peter 5, 7, you remember Peter said, cast your care upon the Lord. He cares for you. And so I'm able to rest and sit in Christ. And that was the plea of Jesus when He was here in Matthew 11. When He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Now, how does one get into that position? We've already mentioned it, by being baptized into Christ. And I must be buried with Christ to be raised up to sit with Christ. And then I sit with Him in the heavenly realm. And I'm relaxed, because I am sitting with my Savior. Tonight, isn't it wonderful to have peace because you're God? And we sit together. And it's not just the O'Neill congregation, but all the redeemed. Think of O those who have been gone on, they still sit in the kingdom of God with Christ. And what a beautiful thought. We all sit together and we sit with peace because we are right with God. But notice, if you will, the second key word. We see that when in our relationship with Christ we sit, but I want you to look at a second word, and you'll find this word in the Ephesian letter and the fourth chapter. And you'll find it about 8 times throughout the epistle, but we're going to look at Ephesians 4 first and look at verse 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now, if my relationship to Christ is sitting, what's my relationship to the world? What's my relationship to the people around me? He says, you walk. It's one thing to sit. It's another thing to walk. And this shows our relationship to the world, our manner of life before the people of this world. And I fear that far too often, some think that when we're in Christ, that's it. But that's not true. When you read the Ephesian letter, Paul reveals to us the word walk 8 times. Now, what did he say in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2? How we're to walk. And he says in a very plain manner that we are to walk in a worthy manner. That we're to walk in a glory. And then he tells us some things in verse 3, that you walk with lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. When I walk according to the principle that God has given me through this Word. But then take your Bible and drop down to verse 17. And when you come to verse 17, notice he said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk." Now, this is not the way to walk. How am I not to walk, Paul? He says, as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, Paul tells me how to walk, and then Paul instructs me how not to walk. And Paul said, I'll tell you one thing, do not walk in ignorance and blindness of heart, and do not walk with one who's past feeling. You know what that means? One who's spiritually dead. If you're past feeling, you no longer can be touched by the Word of God. That means you're dead. The only one who's past feeling is one who's dead. And here he is saying, do not give yourself over to spiritual death, spiritual blindness, and do those things that are contrary to what God has said. When you walk, walk worthily of the Lord. But then if you take your Bible, drop down to Ephesians chapter 5, and look at what he says in verse 2. Not only do we walk worthily, but he says, walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now you know, my friend, we're to be known by our love. Remember, Jesus said that the people of this world will know us by the way we love one another. And Paul said, when you walk worthily and you walk in love. But then drop down, and time won't permit us to look at all, but look at verse 8. He said in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Now when I go about the world, I need to be walking as light. And notice that very carefully. He didn't say you once were in darkness. He said that's what you were. You were once darkness. You once were sinful. You once were alienated. You once were dead in your trespasses and sin. But he said, now you are light. Light, as we brought out a few nights ago, is that which extinguishes darkness. Light is that which shines. People can see a light from a great distance. And tonight in Athens, Alabama, we need to be a light, as Brother Legg prayed, in this dark world. He said, you walk as light. And you know what that means? You're going to be different. Reminds me of the little boy, a young man who was baptized, and his mama was going to send him off to camp, and she was afraid they were going to make fun of him for being a Christian. And he came back home, and she said, son, did they love you? He said, oh no, mama. She said, were they Christians themselves? He said, I don't know. And she said, what do you mean? He said, I didn't tell them I was one. You know, I think there's a lot of adults like that. We never let our light shine. And what did Brother Guy so eloquently say this morning? If we don't confess Christ before men, He won't confess us before His Father. Walk as light. Do that which is acceptable unto God. But drop down and notice what he says again in verse 10. You find out what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what we're trying to do. Do that which is acceptable. And then he says, know what the will of the Lord is in verse 17. Look at what he says beginning at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means looking around. When I'm out in the world, I need to have my mind and my senses so that I'm not tempted to fall. I'm on guard. I'm looking around. And notice he said, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, you think about that in our daily life. How are we to walk in this world? How are we to walk before our children? How are we to walk so that they can see Christ in us? Do we ever study in front of them? Do we ever pray with them? Do we set the right kind of example for them? How do we walk at work? You may say, now, preacher, at work, I can't say certain things. I'll tell you, my friend, one thing you can do is let your light shine no matter where you are. And there, my friend, is where you, in your business and in your life, you have the right relationship with God. You're honest. You have integrity. People can see that there is something about you that's different from the world. You're not worried so much about getting ahead as you are about being right with God. But then think about your attitude. He says you're to be long-suffering. To be patient, kind, considerate. And then he says you don't steal any longer, but you work. You're angry, but you sin not. He talks about that kind of attitude as you read through the Ephesian letter Christians are to have. And the word walk shows the manner of life we live before our fellow man. I want to ask you something. Some of us are a little further on our journey than others, but we're walking our life. And as we've walked our journey, just exactly how much light have we shown to others? Just exactly how much have we lit up Athens? Now, I sit with Christ. That's a relaxed position because I have peace with God. But I walk according to the world, and I walk in a way that they see Christ in me. But what's the third word? Well, take your Bible and look in the Ephesian letter again. And this time, turn over to the 6th chapter. And notice in Ephesians chapter 6 that Paul says, in verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Underscore stand. Now what's that in comparison to? If I sit with Christ and I walk according to the world, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm standing against my enemy. And he very clearly and plainly says who that enemy is. He says you stand against the wiles of the devil. That we take on our armor. He says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. I may not be the smartest man, but when I keep hearing Paul say, stand, I think he's making a very strong point. When the enemy comes, take your stand. And the only way you're going to be able to take your stand is if you have on the whole armor of God. If you're ready for the enemy. that if you've had your armor put on, you've girded your waist with truth, you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you've shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, you have the shield of faith, you have the helmet of salvation, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you have prayer. He said, stand against the enemy. I'll tell you, when you see that, that just shows our enemy is the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Why? He said, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he said, you put on the whole armor as a soldier and be prepared for battle and take the sword of the Spirit. You ever notice that's the weapon of offense God has given us? And we need to keep a tight grip on this Word and on our prayer life. And when the enemy comes, we hit him. Because I'll tell you, when we don't hit him, my friend, and we don't stand up to him, we give in to him. And I think sometimes we laugh at sin instead of standing up against it. But that brings up something else. When I'm sitting in Christ and I'm walking in according to the world so they see Christ in me, and I'm standing against the enemy, it reminds me of another passage. Look in Psalm 1 and look at the contrast. When you come to the first Psalm, notice the psalmist has a very powerful statement on how we're to live our life. He says in verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He says, here's where you don't sit, here's where you don't walk, where you don't stand. But Paul tells us where we do sit. Paul tells us where we do walk. And Paul tells us where we do stand. And I'll tell you something. When I get that concept down, it gives me peace. It gives me understanding. I understand that I'm in a battle, and I understand, though, my peace comes that I'm right with God, I sit in Christ, I walk before others, and I stand against the enemy. I want to ask you a question. There's a difference between sitting in Christ and just sitting in the pew. If I only sit in the pew and I don't walk before others as I should and stand against the enemy, then I'm not doing what I need to do. But if I don't stand against the enemy, I'm not going to walk before others because I've already compromised. It takes all three. When I sit with Christ, then I won't have a problem walking before others and standing against the enemy. And tonight, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, you ever thought about sitting with Christ, being raised up to have spiritual fellowship with the Son of the living God? If you need to make your life right, we pray you'll come as together we stand.